Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IAmDivine2022.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions with Paul John Roach, minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here is your host, Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Unity Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. It's a nice balmy early summer day. Joining me today and next week, next Tuesday, are the beloved sons of a famous speaker, spiritual teacher, and internationally well-known author, Don Miguel Ruiz. Next week, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. joins me to discuss the Little Book of Wisdom, the essential teachings of Don Miguel, as well as Don Miguel, we're going to get all the Don Miguels worked out. Don Miguel Ruiz Jr.'s book, The Mastery of Self. Today, I welcome Don Jose Ruiz, a speaker, author, and musician in his own right. And his book, My Good Friend, The Rattlesnake, tells with great honesty how he shifted his life from the hard, indulgent way, which sometimes seems easy, but it really isn't, to the easier way of being in the flow of the universe. He also co-authored with his father the best-selling book, The Fifth Agreement. So it's a pleasure to welcome Don Jose Ruiz to today's show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, I'm Paul George. I'm very happy to be here with you this morning.
I'm glad you are. As we air this show, it's just a few days after Greg Allman passed. And to many of us, of course, we grew up with him and the Greg and the Allman Band. And he wrote in his autobiography that he had no regrets about anything he did in his life, you know, and he lived a pretty wild life. In terms of relationships and substances and drinking. But given the chance, he said, he wouldn't do it again. He'd take a pass. And I thought that was interesting because what he's saying there is he's learned from his experiences. You know, he had a blast in a way, but it was also a bit of a pain, and he wouldn't want to do it again. He's learned a better way, you know, as he lived his life. So interesting, isn't it? He doesn't regret anything, but doesn't want to do it again. How do you feel about that? Because you also experienced some times when you indulged yourself, right?
Yes, and it's beautiful how he said it because, you know, when awareness comes into our life and we know what price we need to pay, we won't pay for it again. And that's something that awareness and experiences have done with our life. But when we were walking in that way, we were doing our best. You know, we didn't know much better. We believe in life. We believe in, you know, and every negative things that we thought about ourselves, and it lead us to a dark path. And in the dark path, we found ourselves. That I can relate to the master, you know, saying that if I come back, I would not do that again. I would do it differently because the awareness is present. And this is why I love the saying that once we wake up with consciousness, we cannot never go back to sleep.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, once you've, you know, put your hand to the plow, you know, there's no turning back. And I think he's saying the very same thing. Once you've seen a higher path, a higher way, you know, you can't go back. So sometimes you can fall asleep maybe and forget the higher path, but you can never go back to the old ways because something new has come into your life. you know, I can't imagine what it's like to grow up with somebody who became as famous as your dad, you know, but and he came to our church actually in 2001, and we had a wonderful time with him, and it was the beginning of his fame, if you like, and so we just packed the hall, the sanctuary, with people, and he was very gracious, very loving, and very giving. But I can imagine as a teenager, you know, there's a sense that you want to rebel against all that. You know, it seems too good. You know, I want to do something different. I just don't want to fit in with all that all that success. Was that part of what you went through?
Well, it was in a way when we were growing up. My father didn't have that much popularity yet, but he was a shaman, and in that tradition, he absolutely reflected the truth that one didn't want to hear. And in that early age, it was just a resistance, you know, that I had all the time. But either way, he told me things that I didn't want to hear, but I hear anyways. But when I was in my everyday life, you know, in difficult times, those words that he told me, you know, they really were like a sun. They really reflected a lot in the moment that I was living. That it led me to an interesting journey in my life. The journey that he taught me was the road to clean consciousness, because the clean consciousness is the ultimate level of spirituality in the Toltec tradition. Because when you work for clean consciousness, that means that you're at service to life. This is why we cannot go back to sleep anymore, because we wake up our consciousness to really look at our own life. But yes, it was very interesting to see my father, you know, sharing his love, opening his love. So on the contrary, one wanted to do the opposite, you know, to go into the darkness, to go into not love, into the victim world of life. So I got put into that place by myself, but then when I got inside there, I forgot totally. And this is when I begin learning the Toltec teachings. In the Toltec teachings, there's nothing to learn but unlearn what, you know, takes your motivation away, because Toltec means artist of the spirit. So we all are creating with or without awareness. That's why when you have awareness that you know that you've lived a negative life most of your life, then you wake up consciously. You will not go back to sleep, because your conscience won't let you, because you're here to change our inner world. And when we change our inner world, that's what we have to offer to our loved ones.
Right, beautifully put. And I like what you say about, you know, we have to learn to unlearn. The Sufis talk about this as well, and the Buddha talked about it as well, I believe. Where, you know, he said, when you become fully enlightened, you haven't gained anything. You know, if you've gained something, it's not full enlightenment, because it's not something you get. It's something that you realize you already have. And I think this is a huge realization for a lot of people, because they feel like they're on a journey to receive something, right? And we have these ideas that then I'm going to find the Holy Grail, or I'm going to find this, that, and the other. But it's a question of it's already within you, right? And you don't have to find it in the sense that it's something that you can attain. It's something you realize is always been there, but you just weren't aware of it.
Yes, exactly what you say, you know, because it's always inside of us that we forget to let go of things, because we get so attached to things, we get so attached to persons, we get so attached to a way of life, that thinking that this will make us happy, but we forgot that we produce this, that we will never go thirsty out of our own, you know, fountain of purification, of water, of life that flows through us, because it's all inside of us, like you said. But the beautiful thing is when we wake up and saying, you know, all my life, I've been attaching. I haven't been detaching. So the art of letting go of things is also something beautiful, because we don't hold on to our pain anymore. And to let go of our pain is something very liberating, because that's the road to forgiveness. Not the I forgive you if, or forgiveness to look in a certain way with people. No, but truly forgive ourselves for, you know, walking a negative life. Because when this point happens, when we begin to see the clarity in everything, you know, that's a great gift that we give to ourselves. But when we begin to unlearn things, that's because we are already guiding ourselves. And when you are guiding yourself, it's because your consciousness has awoken.
Right. And you talk about, and your dad talks about, and, you know, the whole tradition talks about the fact that, unfortunately, we've been mesmerized in a way by the world, and we've been conditioned. I think you call it domestication, you know, instead of being the free, wondrous spirits that we are, we become cowed by a convention or by what we think is right or what other people tell us to believe, etc. And it's hard to break out of that domestication. We're almost our own worst enemies, right? We're the ones that keep ourselves stuck. Even though the cage door is open, we'd rather stay in the cage because it's familiar. We know it.
Yes, absolutely. We lead into a pain that is more comfortable to us, a pain that we're used to, you know. And we can see the cage open, and we, like you say, you know, the cage is right there open, but our own guilt, our own judgments of how we communicate to one another, and it's through guilt and shame and manipulation, and I love you if, and, you know, manipulation and using love against ourselves, that's one of the most, you know, horrible things that is in life, because we corrupt love. You know, we don't know how to love. At the moment that we begin seeing how this world lives is when we completely wake up and say to ourselves, okay, I'm tired of being in an iron of safety and a pain that I'm used to. I'm ready to get comfortable in the discomfort. And transformation and living a dream is always discomfort because sometimes honesty is one of the most painful acts that we do. But it's only painful like for, like, say, a week to a month to 2 months, you know. But after that, we're not living in pain for 10 years, 20 years, because time goes so quickly. I still remember being in my 20s, and now, you know, I'm entering my 40s. And the more that I say, tomorrow I'll do it, that tomorrow will never come, because I'm in my island of safety, even though I know that the cage is right there. So honesty is one of the greatest allies that we have, to look into the mirror and say, Okay, Jose, what do I need to do right now to get myself out of the cage? How am I using guilt? How am I using relationship? How am I using my habits, my addictions? What am I doing in my life that, you know, that doesn't let me be free? The time is to be honest with myself. So when I hear the honesty coming out, it first is a feeling of letting go, you know, of something that we hold on to that we don't want to go, or a mask, something, you know, that our identity. First is to look at that, because sometimes that puts us in a cage, you know, to be perfect for somebody else. But the moment that we do that and we sacrifice ourselves, we're fake, you know, and we're telling people how to be fake too. The moment that we're real is we're turning back to shamanism, to the shaman roots, because the shaman is real as the root that is planted in the jungle. And then when it grows, it sees everything the same. So when you begin seeing the same thing, what is valuable is just life. So it's sad that in life that we have to wait for a catastrophe or a heartbreak to get together in a hospital or something to have union, you know. But it's when you wake up, you don't see those little things anymore, because you see it as a whole program of lies, of manipulation and guilt. So when we wake up about living this way, we know that this world talks the language of negativity and positivity, and children will be children. That's why forgiveness is one of the most beautiful things, because when people say mean things to us, it's because they're asking for help, because they are infected by a disease that's run by the whole world. That's the addiction of suffering, you know, and that addiction of suffering makes us have addiction of obesity, addiction of alcohol, drugs, whatever it is. But the moment that we're honest about it is when we're ready to change, and we're not going to change for somebody else out of guilt and shame. No, we're going to change for ourselves. This is when the Toltecs say we take the mask off, because we're ready to, you know, live in heaven again.
Right. Beautiful. Beautiful. And, you know, there's an authenticity to that, right? There's the sense of a relief. You know, I don't have to pretend anymore to be somebody I'm not. You know, there's that sense I can just be me, warts and all. One thing I think is important, and sometimes New Age teachings don't want to deal with it, and that is, as you say, there's pain involved sometimes. You know, when you are honest, when you come to your true self, it's not always easy. And we don't like that, I think, in some areas of New Age. It's like we've got to be positive all the time. Everything's got to be lovely and wonderful. But I think there's room for darkness, isn't there? There's room for negative, seemingly negative things, because that's all part of the holistic completeness of our being, right? We are both light and dark. They're part of the whole.
Yes, I totally agree, because one point they call it spiritual happy. when you don't want to look at the truth around you, you just want, you know, to pretend to yourself. And that's what my grandma said to me. If I catch you doing the Toltec tradition of hundreds of years ago, you're not living in the now, and you're killing the Toltec tradition because you're staying in the past. The way to deal with the Toltec tradition is going through what you're going right now, is the passing of the torch. And, of course, any transformation will be painful, you know. I remember when I was a kid and people used to say to me, fake it till you make it, with the biggest grind, you know, biggest smile grind, but they were in pain even smiling. So I wondered if they were in pain even smiling and the uncomfortableness, how uncomfortable would be pretending that one is happy. So it is when we go into our honesty saying, okay, I do tantrums, I do get upset. And like my brother says in one of his beautiful lectures, he says, you know, I do corrupt the four agreements and I make it into the four conditions. But doing this, honestly saying, okay, I do corrupt the four agreements, that means that I'm being honest right now and I'm starting to do a new transformation. Because sometimes we get this information, you know, like the four agreements or other kind of spiritual work, and instead of changing ourselves, we want to change everybody else around us, you know, because
yes,
we do the work. And people make it so difficult to transform because they make it so complicated because they don't want to change. They want to continue being in that island of safety that we were talking earlier, the pain that we're used to. But the moment that we completely wake up, we know that, you know, what it means to pray to the sky, to the sun, to the moon, and have a dagger stuck in our heart, meaning we will feel the heartbreak. Heartbreak is going to come in life. And sometimes when the New Age people, New Age crowds, you know, not to put down anybody, you know. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm just certain some people who are just trying to escape, thinking that if we hit a certain nirvana, a certain enlightenment, we will never feel emotion again. No, we will always feel emotion. Why? Because our mother is free, and the body represents our mother, and the mother is free to feel whatever it wants to feel, and that is how the body and the heaven and hell communicate with us, because in that moment of feeling our emotion, our mind begins to understand what the body is feeling with honesty. So if my body is feeling nervous, I will let my mind know that my body is feeling nervous. Why? So my body can take care of my body. And this is what the angel means. Angel is the messenger. Messenger is the human. And the human is the one who has the strong will and mind to take care of the human body, because the body is just like a pet. So of course we're going to feel pain. And feeling the pain is when we know when we're going to open our medicine back. Because I believe the spirituality is not in just one way of looking at things. Everything is spiritual in this world. Everything that has a heartbeat, everything that is alive, is spirituality in action. And 3,000 years of words, of languages, you know, cannot absolutely be the whole truth in this whole universe. But I believe the closer to the truth that we will feel, just like when we hear music, that activates our emotion, our emotional body, that's what we're going to feel. So if we're not going to feel pain, it means that we're not going to feel beauty anymore. We're going to feel all of it, because that's what we're here for, to protect heaven. That's why I always like to say this prayer, may life protect me from myself so I can serve my temple.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, thank you for explicating on that, because I think it's a very important point. Folks, I'm with Don Jose Ruiz, and he's written some books on spirituality. One of them is sort of a confessional, in a way, of how he came through some difficult times. It's called My Good Friend the Rattlesnake. When we come back, I'll ask him what the rattlesnake represents. He's also worked with his dad to write the wonderful Fifth Agreement. We'll talk about what the Fifth Agreement is when we come back. But right now we're at the break. We're going to listen to these messages from Unity for a couple of minutes, and we'll join Don Jose Ruiz then after that. So stay with us.
If Unity Online Radio has helped you grow spiritually through programs like this one, please consider supporting this online radio programming. Visit www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now. Thank you for helping us continue to serve as the voice of an awakening world.
We are all on the journey together, making sense of this life. finding our spirituality, growing and evolving. As we travel through this world, Unity Magazine is your resource for gaining a deeper understanding of life. Unity Magazine is on the forefront of spiritual discovery, with articles and features from leading authors, teachers, and philosophers. Stimulate your thinking and strengthen your spirituality with Unity Magazine. Sample a free trial issue or subscribe today at unitymagazine.org.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find.
You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm with Don Jose Ruiz, and we're talking about his wisdom and some of the books he's written, one of which is My Good Friend the Rattlesnake, and it's an intriguing title. And so I'm going to ask you, Jose, what exactly does the rattlesnake represent there?
Well, the rattlesnake is one of my greatest autumn spiritual teachers. They have a few teachings for me. Once when I was in the mountains where I used to live, there came a rattlesnake shedding its skin. So when I said to myself, if I was a rattlesnake and I saw myself coming, they would see me a mountain of all dead skins, because I would never leave them. I'm so attached to them. So the first time I saw that, it made me think about how many dead skins do I have carrying and using it against myself. The skin number 7 of heartbreak, the number 5 of detachment, of heartbreak and lost, and you know, different types of pain that, you know, that I used to feel. So I started to identify and saying, oh my God, I carry them. That's why everything that happens around, I take personal, because I set myself up to take personal. But not only that, I also found out that when the rattlesnake is young, it's when it's more dangerous in its whole life. Why? Because it cannot control its poison. If it bites you once, it will give you like a whole little dose, like it bites of rattlesnake at once. You know, but when the rattlesnake begins to mature, it begins to control its poison. And that's when I saw myself as like a young rattlesnake when I was younger. I couldn't control my emotional poison. I couldn't control my temper. I couldn't control the words that came out of me, the negativity. You know, but as time goes by and I learn from my own mistakes and things that I don't like in my life, it's like I identify the poison. And I begin to control my poison, just like a mature rattlesnake. A mature rattlesnake has more poison than the baby rattlesnake because, you know, it's just bigger. But in one point, it learned how to control its poison. So no matter what awareness we humans have, you know, if it's so much love, or, you know, that we have awareness, there's always negativity inside of us. But the moment that we control our negativity, it's because we're controlling, like the rattlesnake, our poison, our inner poison. And this is one of the most magical things. That's why it's so beautiful to control, you know, the little demon that we have, you know, the little negativity that we have inside of us, you know, that is looking for an excuse to come out. That is the moment that we are present in our life, when we are ready to see that parasite, of that living thing that takes over, a living thing that controls us by knowledge, that makes us feel guilt, shame, and creates all these stories to judge ourselves. But the moment comes, you know, if judgment existed before we're born, it will stick when we're alive and after we're dead. So why even give it power anymore? So we begin to wake up from a dream to see judgment as an illusion. And not only that, everything that we throw ourselves to hurt ourselves with is an illusion too. When we get comfortable in discomfort and begin being a impeccable with the word, something magical happens into our thinking of every day. We begin to think impeccably. And when we begin to think impeccably, we can no longer lie. And we can no longer live in a lie. It's our return back home to happiness. Because just imagine, if we don't have to lie anymore. That we don't have to lie to seven people, and then the seven people get into the same room, and then the stress that one will have, you know, saying, oh, no, they're going to catch us in our lie. The moment that we stop pretending, it's only that we let go of things. But sometimes the mask is so seductive that it doesn't want to let go because we give so many justification and excuses to our everyday life because, you know, we give it power. But that's what we are. We give so much justification and excuses to not change our life. But the moment that we have awareness and we look into the mirror, say, okay, now we know what we're here for. Like, I know the meaning of my life. And the meaning of my life is to take care of Jose because I know what makes Jose happy. And I know what makes Jose suffer. And how do I know this? It's because I am Jose. But I'm ready to look into the mirror, just like anyone who wants to change their life. It's about just looking into the mirror and being honest. And then everything will follow.
Powerful words. You know, there's a lot there, isn't there? And what I love about the spiritual path and you know, your particular path, the Toltec path as well, is the fact that there's wisdom everywhere around us. You know, as long as we're willing to look from that inner eye, we see everything can be a teachable moment. You know, any animal, any situation, any scene that we're in can be a place of wisdom for us. It doesn't have to be a place of a problem. And we know we're frightened of rattlesnakes, perhaps, but and yet they also have great wisdom. So you learned two very powerful things there, didn't you, from that animal? You know, the idea that, yeah, we cover ourselves in skin after skin, you know, hide after hide. And is that really the way we want to live our lives? And then the other image of, you know, controlling our poison, So that we're not a victim of it, you know, we are master of it. Not that we don't have poison, because if we're in a human form, we're always going to have tendencies to certain behaviors, but we don't have to be, you know, controlled by them. So much it comes to us when we listen. And of course, this is part of the fifth agreement, isn't it? Which I love, actually, because the four agreements, if people aren't familiar with the four agreements, if you've never read the book, I can't imagine you haven't, because it seems like everybody in the world has read it. But the first one, Don Jose has already alluded to, be impeccable in your word, and be honest with yourself, really. That's what it's saying. And the second one is don't take it personally, right? That's the next one. What's the third one?
It's the don't make assumptions.
Don't make assumptions. And then the fourth one is do your best, right? At any given time, do your best. So they're all aimed at turning within and seeing what's really going on rather than the story that we make up about things. But, you know, I guess you found that there was a need for a fifth agreement, right? Which I find very compelling because the fifth agreement is also used in Buddhism. You know, the fifth agreement is stay skeptical. And the Buddha himself said, you know, don't believe me just because I'm telling you this. You know, work it out for yourself. Stay, you know, doubtful until you've proved it for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with doubt. I think Christianity, for instance, has a hard time because you're never supposed to doubt. You know, supposed to have faith all the time in God and in Jesus. And really, doubt and inquiry is part of the human spirit, isn't it? To always be looking and listening to see if this is true or not. So part of the fifth agreement, of course, is based, like we said, on looking and listening with a healthy skepticism, right? Which I think is very powerful, actually, as a technique.
Yes, it's a beautiful way to seeing the life. You know, like we're always babysitting. We're babysitting the love of our life, which is ourselves. And one of the beautiful things about the fifth agreement is about being skeptical of our own negativity. It's not about being skeptical in a social position, saying I'm more intelligent than anybody else. No, it's about being skeptical of my own negativity, like saying I'm not perfect, nobody loves me, I cannot do this, I cannot change, and everything that I will put myself up. Because one day I imagine a scorpion that was in the middle of a desert that stung itself with its own stinger again and again and again, and everybody who was sleeping that night begin getting into the scorpion's dream, including myself. And then I begin having dreams about the scorpion stinging itself again and again in the desert until one day I woke up and said, oh my God, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing what the scorpion's doing, stinging itself with its own stinger, but I'm doing it with my thoughts, saying, Jose, you're not good. Jose, no one loves you. Jose, you cannot ever change. You're like this, you're like that. And always getting, convincing myself to get in the island of safety. And then from that moment, but you know what? I have to be skeptical of my own self. I have to be skeptical of my own poisons. I don't have to believe this negativity. So if it's doubt that got me into hell, doubt that got me into suffering, it will be doubt that gets me back into heaven, doubt that gets me back into living a happy life by listening to me and not believing that part of the negative me. So from that point on, I begin to witness my own reactions. And this fifth agreement, it is like the graduation of the four agreements, because it will begin to practice them. Because I remember saying to my father, how can I repay you for everything that you have given me and taught me? He said, easy, my son. Help me to change the world inside of your mind every time that you think that you cannot do it, that you cannot change, that you're not meant for love, that you're stuck into this dream. Don't believe yourself. Follow your heart, and when you follow your heart, you will be free. And there's always something waiting in the other side, and it is the real you, the love of your life, to completely be free and out of a cage. So from that point on, I decided, hey, it's time to protect myself from myself. And be skeptical of my own negativity is like the fifth agreement, to not use the word against ourselves any longer. Be completely impeccable with it. Do not use the word to judge ourselves, you know, to take ourselves personally, to not use the word to make assumptions, to create a false dream of negativity, and to not be afraid of communication, of using the word. And by the final, my father's first agreement that he is his favorite one is always doing your best, because this is the agreement of life. Without this agreement, none of them will have life. So this unlocks our full potential, which means our intent. And this is what we really are. We are that intent. We are that force. We are that force that we speak into every word that we say. We are that force that makes us wake up in the morning and stand up and do whatever we need to do into life. So when we wake up with this awareness, you know, we can completely change our life, because we are messengers. The question is, what kind of messenger are we? And saying to the people we love with all our heart and to ourselves.
You know, it's an interesting conundrum, isn't it? That, you know, don't take it personally, and yet it is all about us, you know, in the one sense, but not in another. In other words, there's sort of a paradox there. You know, like you said, you know, the best thing you can do is be good to Jose, because that is you. This is your body, mind, spirit that you're with this lifetime. And so if you can't be good to that, how can you be good to anything else? So in a sense, it's all about you. In another sense, it's not about you, because we are just part of the whole. We don't need to take everything that the voices out there tell us is true, because we don't have to take it all personally. So it's stepping into your authentic self, isn't it, and letting go of your false self. So it's an interesting dance there, if you like.
Yes, and this is the most beautiful thing, because this is when we wake up in unity, because how we treat ourselves is how we're going to treat the rest of the world. So if we begin treating ourselves with love and respect, you know, it's like putting water into the holy cup, and that holy cup, the holy grail, is going to overfill. And this is what's going to be coming from us, and this is our presence. When each human awakes with their own presence, and having respect for themselves and for any living creature and living being and living thing in this planet, you know, their whole energy will transform and change. And this is common sense and proven already, to open and heal hearts, to heal the body when we begin eating in the right way, and especially when we begin thinking and not using the words and the illusion of the negativity and lies against ourselves anymore, and to not be afraid of it anymore, to not be afraid of ourselves anymore, because something mm-hmm. beautiful happens when we completely, you know, make an agreement of love with ourselves. It's like a marriage. And the marriage is not with another human being, not the marriage is with ourselves, because this is the person that we need to be loyal to. Because if we're loyal to this person, then we'll be loyal to the rest of the world. But when we're loyal to us, you know, it's because we're taking care of our garden. And this is the Garden of Eden that the masters speak of, you know. This, everybody has their garden to maintain clean. And no matter who has awareness in this world, no matter what awareness they have, they still have to do their garden work. And this is the beautiful thing about loving, to do our garden work. And the garden work, like I said before, is to take care of Jose for me. That's the meaning of my life after everything that I experienced, you know, like our brother said, who passed away, you know. I don't regret anything, but if I would be alive, I would do things differently because of the awareness. So I believe in resurrection, but in the same life. We live a certain way of life, you know, asleep. But now that we wake up, we cannot go to sleep anymore because our consciousness, and from this point on, is like having another life. It's a second coming of Siddhartha. It's a second coming of Quetzalcoatl. And, you know, whatever spiritual belief you have, you know, behind all of that, something that we cannot explain with words, but it's a sensation that we feel. And when we wake this up and look himself into the mirror, we know that everything that we will see from now on has that force too. So we live in unity. And this is why I love your centers, because, you know, it brings different people from different traditions, different faiths, different belief systems. But when we are together in unity, you know, it's because we know that we are one. We're one humanity. And one humanity is the one angels that the masters, the creators, put us into this world to take care of this world. And we who have woken up, we know what our service it is. So we cannot give what we don't have. So giving it to us, we will give it to the other ones, because the little ones, they're learning, but they learn not what we say to them. They learn how we live our life. So when we wake up, there's no more excuses anymore.
Yes, very beautiful. Also, what you said earlier about, you know, how doubt can lead you astray, but doubt can bring you back home too. And I was just reading the other day about from the teachings of Patanjali, the Yoga Sutras, you know, which are ancient Hindu teachings, and it talks about using a thorn to remove a thorn. And I thought this is the very same thing we're talking about, right? The thing that can be a problem to us, the thorn, can also be a help to us, in the sense we can remove the thorn with another thorn. We can remove doubt, or we can remove illusion with the same doubt. So it can be a useful quality as well as a problematic quality. And I think this is true of everything in our lives, right? If we determine that there's value in it, then all of a sudden it becomes helpful to us. If we think that there's nothing there for us, then we're right. You know, there is nothing. So we get to choose, don't we? We can free ourselves by everything that's available to us in this moment. There's not a necessity for more. There's more than enough around already for us to be free, if you like.
Yes, I love that, Reverend, because it is true. Because everywhere we go is a tree of life, and the tree of life has fruit for us all the time. That when we are in service, we never know where we're going to go today. We may thinking we're going to go to the left today, but life will take us to the right, because that's life taking us, and we're supposed to be there. And sometimes when we get there, our mind starts to think, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. Well, when we know that we're there, that's where we're supposed to be, because that's where we're at. So wherever we're at, that's where we're going to, you know, do our best and be at service. But it's a beautiful thing, you know, to really have always the ears open and receive the message from life. because it could be from the most little things. It could be from an air just sweeping like a little spiral up in the air, picking up some, you know, some leaves and putting it. It could be just that moment of watching a puppy passing by when someone's walking it, or it could be the sky, or it could be someone's eyes. It could be just a moment, and it will make us reflect something, you know, that will make us realize, you know, that we are alive. Being alive, that's the whole point of being grateful. And when you're grateful to be alive, you know, that heart opens up and just doesn't give power anymore to anything that wants to interrupt this. Because there's something that I love that Abraham Lincoln said. He said, "I only have one religion in my life. If I do good, I feel good. And if I do bad, I feel bad. That's my religion." Mm-hmm. So much common sense, you know? Just follow the heart. If it feels good in your heart, then continue on. But if it doesn't feel good, then listen, you know? Put awareness. What's happening here? What's happening that I have to look at myself? Oh, look at here. I'm feeding this story. That's not. Let me see if it's true. So take our spaces with honesty to really realizing what we are creating, because this is what we're called Toltecs, because we create stories. The beautiful thing it is to filter them, to know what are we doing with stories, because this is how we romance the love of our life.
And again, that's another knife-edge thing, isn't it? There's another conundrum, if you like, paradox, in the sense that a story is a wonderful thing, and the Bible, for instance, is full of stories, and our lives are full of stories. And yet, you know, once we allow one story to be the only story, you know, then we're limited to that, you know, and it becomes a rigid thing that can hurt us. You know, locked into a story about, say, abuse. I was abused as a child, so that's why I could never succeed, etc. So, you know, we have to go beyond the story that's become crystallized, right, and allow the story to be creative and unfold in new ways every day. You know, because the dream, you say in your books that, you know, we're meant to dream, but sometimes those dreams can limit us, because especially if we buy into somebody else's dream of what the reality is, right, that the dream can never be pinned down, can it?
Yes, we, and then one day we wake up saying, oh, my God, you know, we've been slaved to the entity of memory, and the entity of memory is here to serve us. Memories are here to serve us. We're not here to be slaved by the memories of mm-hmm. something that happened like 20 years ago that, you know, somebody abused us like 20 years ago. And every time we think about it, when we use it against ourselves, you know, it's like giving the person still power to abuse us right now. When we begin letting go of it, you know, and talking about it and letting it go, stop giving it power, know that it happened, but learning how to heal, then, you know, it gives us some strength to talk about it with power. That every time we go through it or go through that story, it's because we're helping somebody else. And it's something beautiful that I learned from this beautiful man that I took his course, and his name is Bo Eason. He used to be a player for the 49ers. But he says, you know, he's a presenter, a motivational speaker also. Mm-hmm. He said in one of the most beautiful stories, he says, you know, when we share our personal story, something magical happens. Somebody who's hearing you also remembers their own personal stories. And when you begin being open of your own story, it opens somebody else to their own story. So you begin to be completely connected. You know, and you begin to feel, you know, that we all have the same experiences, that we all go through different things, but with different stories. But the feelings that wake us up is the most beautiful thing. So from this point on, I realized, you know, that when one is completely honest and opens up completely, you know, it's very magical to live that way, because you begin to be free from oneself and to witness this beautiful life.
You know, I think what you're talking about also is moving from your head into your heart, right? And stories, when they're living traditions, you know, and we can have mythologies that are very powerful too, some of those archetypal stories, or art itself, you know, when we're enjoying a piece of art or even creating art or music, you know, that takes us out of our thinking about things into experiencing things authentically. And I think that's a very beautiful thing, because that's when real change happens, isn't it? We've moved from thinking about something and creating a story about it to actually living the story, being it, being part of that that flow. And I think we've all experienced that in our lives when we've done that. Just listening to music, for instance, I know you're a musician and you've been heavily influenced by certain music. It takes us into a whole nother dimension, doesn't it?
Yes, and it's so magical in healing, because just certain chords, certain sounds, or certain songs can take you out of an emotion that you felt stuck on, you know, that you feel like it was eating you alive. Just a little bit of music and sound appealing, or like the ancestors used to do, play the drum. And when they play the drum, they feel the emotion, they feel the heartbeat, and they begin the ceremony, the ritual of begin to let everything get out of themselves. And this is a beautiful thing that it connects us to us. And that's the most beautiful thing about to get this vibration and to put it into words. And it can be so healing, the words that come out of us. That's why I say to my friends, you know, it's beautiful when you get a recording device and press record and speak from your heart. And then later on, push stop and listen to it, then listen to it again. But the moment that you hear your own voice empowered with love and you begin hearing it, next time that one gets out of the center, what can help? It's your own voice, your own taste, because, you know, it's the real you giving you the message, the real reminder. So that's why it's beautiful, the sound of music, when it just makes you stop from thinking, or when you see the ocean, makes you stop from thinking. When you look at a baby, makes you stop from thinking, because it reminds us of our things. That's why I remember the first time that I read the Four Agreements, finally I said to my father, I know this information, and he puts a big smile on his face, and he goes, of course you know it. Everyone knows it, because it's integrity talking to integrity. And, you know, that's the feeling right there. That's the feeling right there, when you find that moment of peacefulness and tranquility. You find integrity within yourself, because your heart's completely open. Because when your heart's completely open, you know, that's it.
I love that. Yeah, I love that line. Integrity talking to integrity. Yeah, beautiful. Lovely. So for those people that say, oh, you know, I love all this stuff, but it's can't be that easy. Look at the world we're living in right now. You know, this is terrible. There's all kinds of things, stresses, terrorism, you name it, going on in our world. Some of us don't like our president, perhaps. Other people think he's great, whatever. But there's a lot of division between one side and the other. You know, things don't seem to be working out very well in some areas of the world. How would you respond to that? Are you optimistic, or do you think we are in a difficult place right now?
Well, I think we're moving into a great place of change and transformation. So before there's a big change, you know, there's always a reaction or something that's going to go on. And I remember being one of conferences with my father, and somebody asked my father, oh, Miguel, Don Miguel, I wish humanity would make it and would make it. It's lost. It's not making it. And my father turned to her and says, yes, it's making it. It's making it really good. And she said, how can you say that when this is happening in the world, when this is happening in the other part of the world, when this is happening in the other part of the world? And my father responded, okay, I understand your point of view. You know, I understand where you're coming from. Okay, I want you to imagine going back in time, let's say 1,000 years, in the time of the Inquisition. And let's say we go to England so you can understand the language. So what you know right now, you will wake up 1,000 years from now and, you know, try to share everything that you know to everybody. So one wakes up in that time, begins to share, hey, you don't have to read all these things to hunt witches are not real, or hey, you don't have to do this because of these things, because you make a deal with the devils. Oh, no, you don't have to do this. You don't have to make torture chambers. Hey, you can shower 2 times a week, you know. How long would it take for the Inquisition to come accuse you of deal with the devils or witchcraft? How long would it take you to get to the gallows pole? And because, you know, you did something that you wanted to help. So that's 1,000 years. we have come a long way from now, from that kind of life. And even in these past 100 years, we humans have grown so much that, you know, the power of information is so fast that right now the voice can be heard. So people's voices are being heard all over the world. And what used to be a hidden, you know, injustice, people are hearing about it now because of the power of the internet. So people are very engaged about this. At the same time, negativity can also spread more. But, you know, wherever negativity comes, the truth will come out. That's why they're saying heaven doesn't need heaven. We need heaven is hell, because wherever we, heaven, are, we're going to turn heaven into hell by spreading our presence and love. So I believe that we are in a great place, because right now we're taking steps forward and we have ignited a light, and the light, it is a spiritual revolution that begins with ourselves and continues with our brothers and sisters. So we can go back. That's why I say, once we wake up, we cannot go back to sleep.
Right. So what's next for you, Don Jose? What's in your life coming up now?
Well, I'm so happy that I got a book deal with Hierophant Publishing. So we're working on some new projects with my friend Randy Davila. And it's about stories from old Mexico. So we're going to share some of that. And right now, I'm touring with my brother, Miguel Ruiz Jr., and my father, celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Four Agreements. And by the, by the end of New Year's, I'm so happy that we're going to go to Teotihuacan with my father to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the 20th anniversary of the Four Agreements.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, very good. Well, I want to thank you very much for being on today's show. And before we finish, can you give our listeners some advice or some practical things they can do this week that could really help them live a more authentic life of integrity? What would you suggest that they do for the rest of the week?
First of all, is to begin the Toltec tradition that there's nothing to learn but to unlearn. So to go into the mirror and look into the eye and make an agreement of love. And after that agreement of love is made, it could be 30 seconds to a minute. Go to your backyard. And in your backyard or wherever place of nature, pick up 3 stones. And each of those stones will represent something that you want to let go of. It could be a negative habit, a negative situation, or something that we're doing. Whatever it is, you know, just be honest with yourself, get the stone and pick it up and look at it from that point. So after you collect 3 stones, you go wherever you want in your nature place, in your garden, you make a little hole and you put those 3 stones and you bury those stones and you make an act of power saying, I am aware of these stones and I will not give you power anymore. I will unlearn this way of life and I will serve the love of my life. So in that moment, make a moment of power of detaching. And then once again, go back to a mirror and look at that reflection into your eyes like you've never done before and say, I'm at service to you. I'm at service to the love of my life. And this is the beginning of the training of we call the messenger training. And I would like to share this with everybody.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think that's very practical and helpful and a wonderful way to end our show. As we said earlier, next week, Don Jose's brother, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., joins me, and we'll listen to his wisdom as well. But right now, I want to thank Don Jose for being on the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Reverend Roach. I'm very happy to have spent this time with you and with everybody.
Yes, and thanks for everybody for listening, and join me again next week. In the meantime, have a wonderful week. All right, take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find.
In an old Three Stooges comedy skit, Larry would call out to Mo, "I can't see, I can't see." Mo would immediately rush to Larry's aid, asking, "Why not?" Larry would then smile and say, "Because I've got my eyes closed." Then, of course, Mo would bop Larry on the head. It is a good idea to pause occasionally to think about what we may not be seeing because our eyes are closed. And preferably do this before we get bopped on the head by circumstances. Is it life that is restraining us or our own limited thinking? When we truly understand that no one can make us think or feel anything unless we give them permission, we begin to see the vastness of our freedom. Open your eyes. Recognize your power to choose how you will focus your thought. Celebrate your freedom. This Law of Life is brought to you by Unity.
To find a Unity Church near you, visit www.unity.org.
Notice how the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly? Listen to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed as these unlikely saints administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Join the discussion with Daryl and Ed live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time on Funniest Thing, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IamDivine2022.